For a long time, nobody thought much about regulating the water of the Great Lakes. They just seemed inexhaustible. There was no firm legal definition of who the water belonged to or who could give it away. At some point, scientists figured out the boundaries of what's known as the Great Lakes Basin. It's like a huge land bowl where all the waterways flow back into the lakes. It includes areas of 8 states and parts of Canada. Scientists figured out that you had to leave at least 99% of the water in the lakes in order to maintain all the important ecosystems that depend on the water. The natural boundary of the Great Lakes Basin started to become a political boundary when demand for water started rising. The only regulation for a long time was a 1984 federal law that said all the Great Lakes governors had to agree before any water could be taken out of the lakes. Then in 1998, an organization called the Nova Group got a permit from Ontario to ship water to Asia. People didn't like that idea at all, and the politicians reacted.
It seems like every major policy change has a triggering event.
Dennis Shornack is the U.S. chairman of the International Joint Commission, which oversees Great Lakes issues.
The Nova permit, granted initially by Ontario to this shipping company to take Great Lakes water, apparently by tanker to the Far East, was the triggering event to start the compact in motion. There have been a number of cases over the years. They all lead down the same path, and that is that we had to have a structure to manage these waters cooperatively.
The compact Shornack was talking about is the Great Lakes Compact. It's a comprehensive set of strict water usage laws. The states realized the need for something like it after the Nova Group incident, and work on it was completed in 2006. It's a strong agreement because each state and two Canadian provinces, through a separate agreement, must get it through their legislatures and get their governors to sign it. After all the states have passed it, it has to be approved by the U.S. Congress. Shornack was one of the people who helped write it. He thinks it's a pretty good solution for the lakes.
This is really a big deal. Whether it's a perfect solution, who knows? Only time will tell. But it's certainly a very, very strong and positive step in the right direction when 8 governors get together and 2 premiers and decide we're going to manage a fifth of the world's fresh surface water, and we're going to do it with conservation, we're going to do it with very severe restrictions on diversions. This is all very good for the basin. This is good news.
The compact does have its detractors. There are people from the business and environmental worlds who have problems with some of it. But the general feeling is that something has to be settled on, and the compact is a good start. Most states seem to have bipartisan support in their legislatures, although so far only Minnesota has actually passed it. Peter Annan is the author of The Great Lakes Water Wars. He thinks that by legislative standards, things are moving pretty quickly.
The pace of ratification to the average citizen might seem like it's painfully slow and laborious, but in fact, with compacts in general, some of them have taken 10, 20 years to make it through all the various legislatures. And so here we are about 18 months after the document was released. If you look at the 8 states, the vast majority of them have some sort of activity going.
Annan also thinks that given the pressing issues over natural resources everywhere, that agreements like the compact will change the way other regions think about their resources.
Why it's a model, I think, is because it's encouraging to people to think not just in political boundaries, but in watershed boundaries, and that the compact encourages people to work communally to a greater social and sustainability good on behalf of the regional water supply and water resources. And I think that's going to be a model for the future, no matter where you are.
Annan thinks there will be a flurry of activity in the legislatures in the next year or so. That's because after the 2010 congressional redistricting, the water-hungry Southwest will likely have more power in the U.S. House. So it's in the interest of Great Lakes states to get the compact through Congress before those political changes happen. For the Environment Report, I'm Melissa Ingalls.